Brother Schwartz. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's great to get to be here with you tonight. I do want to say I appreciate Brother Schumacher and this great church for allowing us to be here. Amen. And how many believe we serve a mighty God? Amen. He is a mighty God, isn't he? Hallelujah. Well, he was talking a little bit about our responsibility of 49 countries and many, 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 many miles between all of it. But I'm glad, too, that it's not just my responsibility. Number one, it is God's church. And then God has gave us some wonderful people and different countries all throughout the region, missionaries, national leaders, and we all work together for the same cause, and that's to see the lost reach with this great truth. And so that's the exciting thing, is being able to be a part of a great team. Amen. Because no one person can do what needs to be done in situations like that, but all of us working together, there's great things that can happen. Praise God. You love him tonight? Amen. Praise God. You can be seated. I do want to say that I appreciate Brother Schumacher allowing us to come and be with you. We were here in this church, maybe not this building. I know there's been some changes, but probably about 2010, so there's been quite a few changes since that time. We have a beautiful building here, and it's just great to see what the Lord has done and have faith with you for what he will continue to do. Praise God. But I'm glad to have my wife with me, and she she's got to be a great lady to be able to travel with me and keep me from getting lost in airports because I don't keep up with schedules. I don't worry about that. That's her job. I don't know what plane we're getting on. I just know I'm going somewhere, and she's going to help me to get there. So I take care of all the other minor stuff, you know. But I really appreciate her and her faithfulness in traveling with me and always being there when everything may not be going just right. She's still just right there. Amen. So we're glad to be in Wisconsin. I've already got some cheese curds, and so I feel much better. We don't get those down south too much. Not good fresh ones like you get here. I called my daughter and I said, "Listen," and so I was chewing on, and she said, "I don't know what you're eating." So it's just wonderful to know that the Lord is mighty and he is powerful, and he is in this place tonight. Amen. How many believe that the Lord has something else for us in this place tonight? Praise God. Praise God. I always feel a little bit nervous in every service that I go into. It doesn't matter if it's five people or 15,000. It doesn't really matter because you just, you know, you want to be in tune with God. You want to make sure that, Lord, I want to be the vessel that you can use in a place. And so we just have to trust him in that. So tonight, I feel like the Lord has helped us. I will tell you just a little bit about what we do. Everybody knows what a regional director is. Global Missions, a regional director, where there's five of us now. And so we are given a specific region and area that we're responsible for and supervising. And because I didn't have enough to do, January 1, they give me all of South America also. Before, I only had Central America, Mexico, the Caribbean islands. But they give me South America because, like I said, I wasn't busy enough. So we're grateful that the Lord has allowed us to be able to be a part. We pretty much have all of the Spanish-speaking world. We're just missing two or three countries that are a couple over in Africa and then, of course, Spain. But it is wonderful to see what God is doing in this world that we're living in and in places where there's lots of turmoil and problems. I have people ask me, what is the country with the most revival in your regions? And I tell them without hesitation, Venezuela. How many has heard anything about Venezuela? So some want to know how to have great revival. I don't know if you want to go through what they're going through to see the great revival, because it is a very, very, very difficult situation. Our missionaries, our leaders, our ministers, wives, families all suffer because of the shortage of things. But God, in the midst of all of that, He is doing a mighty work, and so many people are being reached with this great truth. So we're just thankful for that. I would ask you to pray with me for the country of Venezuela. Pray with me for what's left of the islands of the Bahamas. And we're only beginning the hurricane season. And so this is always a tense time for all of us. In 2017, there were 5 active hurricanes in the region. And then I think we had an earthquake somewhere and a volcano was erupting. So that about covered everything that could happen. So we just ask you to pray with us for the Bahamas. They're trying to get in and getting things starting, trying to get help to those people. Far as we know right now, all of our people that we have there have survived, but a lot of people haven't. So God's good, isn't He? Amen. If you have your Bible tonight, we're going to ask you to turn with us to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 16, very familiar portion of Scripture. And we will read there and then probably skip over to, way back to 1 Chronicles. But Mark chapter 16, the word of the Lord says, "And He said unto them," Jesus is speaking, "go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to" who? "Every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe." Did you get that? "In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." You may not understand why we're going where we're going now, but 1 Chronicles chapter 5, 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 18. "The sons of Reuben and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh, of valiant men, men able to bear buckler and sword and to shoot with bow and skillful in war, were 44,703 that went out to the war. And they made war with the Hagarites, with Jetur and Naphish and Nodab. And they were helped against them. And the Hagarites were delivered into their hand, and all that were with them. For they cried to God in the battle, and He was entreated of them, because they put their trust in Him." Amen. You can be seated in the name of the Lord. I want to talk to you just a little bit tonight, just for a short time, about the tip of the spear. The tip of the spear. This is a phrase that you possibly have heard, and it's been used in several occasions. But the tip of the spear, the meaning of it is, that is given when you look it up, is the first in line to go before in every moment. Opening the way, this can refer to a group of soldiers, men of war, that are the first to penetrate the enemy's defensive line and allow the army to come in behind them to defeat the enemy. How many believe that we serve a great God, a powerful God? Amen. Are you sure? You're convinced that we serve a great God? How many believe that God can do the impossible? Amen. I'm going to tell you a little story. I think your pastor heard this Friday night, but I just can't help but share this. It's one of the greatest things that's ever happened to me. This helps you understand how powerful our God is. 1981, I was in Crane, Texas. I was had taken pastor to the first church that my wife and I pastored. We were elected 100% by all five members. That's quite an accomplishment. And so because that it was a small church, and then the fact that the building was in horrible condition, there was a lot of things that needed to be done, I went and found a job and worked in a secular job as well as pastor. And that's not uncommon here in the United States. So I was able to get a job, being how that is oil field and a lot of oil field related jobs. I was able to go to work in a plant that was owned by Arco Oil and Gas, or even is known as Atlantic Richfield. It was a good job, paid well, had great benefits and all of those things, and basically worked 40 hours a week. But the thing that happened is when I went to work on that job in 1981, they put me in the welding department. In that welding department, they placed me with a welder, and I was his helper. His name is Howard Frazier. They put me to work with him. He was older than me, considerable older than me. And anybody that knows about construction and oil field, it's not really a Christian atmosphere. Have you ever noticed that? And so that was exactly where I was, pastor in the first church. But everybody knew I was a pastor. I didn't hesitate to let them know and didn't hesitate to talk to them when given the opportunity. Howard was a very tender man, and so I would talk with him. We'd be off working by ourselves somewhere, welding pipe or whatever it was necessary. And I would talk to him about the Lord and talk to him about what the Lord had done in my life. He would cry. He would be touched. But in the 5 years that I worked there, Howard never came to church. He was a worldly man. He had a sweet wife, but I never could get him to come to church. He retired and went and lived in a lake house. And we later resigned that church and went to another city. But we always stayed in touch with Howard Frazier. We would go and visit him. I would call him. I would call him, and he'd say, "Hey, David, it's so good to hear from you, man. I've been thinking about you." And that's pretty much what he said every time. So I guess he thought a lot about me. But anyway, we stayed in touch. Then we went to the mission field. So now the distance was further, and it wasn't as easy to stay in touch with Howard. Matter of fact, at the time when we went to the field, there were no cell phones. And the phone that we had to make a phone call to the United States would cost over $3 an hour. I mean, a minute. Yeah, let's get it right. A minute. So that was quite expensive, but I still would make contact with him because I just cherished his friendship and felt like that was necessary. When we would come home on deputation, we would make sure that we would go by and spend a night or two with him and his wife. Then as life went on and time went on, he moved from Texas where he was at. His son bought a ranch up in Oklahoma, and so his son prepared a nice place for him and his wife, Howard's wife, their sons prepared this place, and then it's beautiful. I mean, it's out on a beautiful ranch. The view is incredible. It's just an amazing place. And so 1981 is when I met him. 2016, we were on deputation in Oklahoma. And so I called Howard and I said, "Hey, Howard, we're here in Oklahoma. We're kind of in the area. So we'd like to come by." "Oh, yes, come by and see us. We're here. Come out here to the ranch. We're just waiting on you." And so we went out to the ranch and to talk and spend some time with Howard and Dorothy. And while we were there, I was talking to him, and he said, "You know, I got a cousin. He just got baptized." And he said, "Man," he said, that's quite a thing." He said, "He's been quite a scoundrel, so I hope it helps him." So he kind of understood how things should be, you know, when you're moving in that direction. And so We just talked about that, and this wonderful thing that happened and all that. Then we had to leave because the next couple of nights we had services nearby. But when I left from there, the Lord really spoke to me and said, you need to go back because Howard's ready to be baptized. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, this is only 35 years from the time the seed has been planted. So I told Yonda, I said, we're going to go back out there. So I called him, and he said, oh, man, yeah, come on back out. So we went out and met with him. And so I was talking, it's just he and I, and we were talking, and he brought up again. I didn't mention it. I kind of wanted to see how the door would open, and he brought it up again about his cousin and him being baptized. And so I said, Howard, I said, have you ever thought about being baptized? And he looked at me, and he said, man, yeah. I said, we could do that. I could do that. I could baptize you. He said, you could? I said, yes, sir. And so I said, get your Bible. So he got a Bible, and I took him through a quick Bible lesson of baptism, repentance, and baptism, and the purpose of baptism, and baptism in Jesus' name, and all of that, and about how that, you know, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and what happens when you, and I did all that, just quickly went through it. And then I got through and I said, so there, now the decision's yours. Do you want to be baptized? He said, yeah, I do. And so I said, okay. So we prayed and he repented and he said, I'll tell you what, we'll schedule that for this afternoon. I said, well, good. I said, you got a lake out here and then there's a creek not too far away. So I said, we got plenty of water. We can baptize you. And he kind of looks at me and he says, well, what's wrong with the jacuzzi? Because outside the ranch house, there's a big deck and it had a huge jacuzzi. And I said, well, if I can get you in there and bury you under the water, I said, then, yeah, that'd be great. So he said, well, let's go see. So he goes out and he gets in the jacuzzi, not to be baptized, but just to see if he'd fit because he's over 6 foot tall. And he fit well, and so he said, okay, this afternoon, certain time, I don't even remember what the time was, he said, I want to be baptized. And so I am just, you know, so thrilled. So sure enough, that evening, we baptized Howard in Jesus' name. 88 years old. That's 2016, 35 years from the time the seed was first sown. Then I had a problem. He's not young. He hasn't received the Holy Ghost. I so want to see him filled with the Holy Ghost. And I pray for Howard, and I'm praying, God, you got to get me back. I got to get back out there because I feel like if I could get back, I can pray him through the Holy Ghost. He's so hungry because I'd already told him after I baptized him, Howard, this is where you read the scripture. See what happens. See, look at this about you. You need to pray. God can fill you with his spirit. He can do that at any time. When you make it right and get things ready, he'll do it. And I was concerned because I don't have time to go see Howard. Have a pretty busy schedule. 26 days, I had 20 flights, and I was in 6 countries, so that's pretty busy. Thursday, this past week, before we get in our vehicle to come to Wisconsin, I get a phone call. Howard Fraser, wow. So I answer it. Hey, Dave, how you doing? I said, I'm doing good. I post a lot of stuff about where I'm going and where I've been and all that stuff. So he watches all that. And he knew that I was back in the country. And so he said, well, I see you're back. He said, I just want to call and tell you something. And I said, well, that's good. What you want to tell me? He said, you know, my grandson, we've had problems and friction. And he said, so I felt like I needed to go visit him. And he lives in Colorado. And he said, so I drove, 91 years old, by himself out to Colorado to visit his grandson. And he said when he got out there, he said he never saw so much hate or felt so much hate in all his life. Very terrible thing for him. But he talked to him, and he said, Howard said, and the Lord helped me. And he said, so we were able to resolve a lot of this. And he said, so now everything's looking better. Okay. So then he says, You know, after that, and I don't know that he said, but anyway, he was somewhere, and there was a storm came, and the rain began to fall. He said, and it was one more rainstorm. It was loud. And he said, so while that was going on, he said, I just started praying. And he said, it happened. And I'm lost, you know. I'm still lost. I'm like, what are you talking about, Howard? He said, the Holy Spirit came on me and filled me. He said, it's the most wonderful experience that I've ever had. Thirty-eight years after the seed was sown. My prayer had changed from God help me to get to him to God just fill him wherever and however. And he filled him at 91 years of age. So I'm going to probably go there this week coming. When we leave Wisconsin, I'm probably going to go out there. Because he said, I'm just telling you a little bit. He says, I've got a whole lot more to tell you. He said, but you don't have time. You're busy. I could listen, you know. So I tell you all of that to help you understand that, yes, God can do what seems impossible. Amen? Now, the scripture says in Matthew chapter 19, 26, Jesus beheld them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Luke said it this way, for with God nothing shall be impossible. So how many believe that God is a healer? And we've been hearing a little bit about this tonight, about miracles and stuff, so stay with me. Matthew said, and he healed all that were sick at that place. Now we understand Genesis 1 and 1, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then also in Colossians 1 and 16 it says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him. So most all Christians believe that God is a powerful God, that he can do anything, that he is great, and that he is all powerful. People just believe that are Christians. How many has ever been healed? Wow. Isn't it wonderful that when we pray that God can heal? Amen. So how many believe that God can take someone out of the world and then forgive them and clean them up and free them from bondage and put them into his kingdom and they become something useful in his hands? I'm a witness. Amen. Our God is a great God. It's fairly easy to believe in God and what he can do when you begin this Christian walk. But the title of this message is The Tip of the Spear. So where is God's church in this hour that we're living in? There's problems everywhere. There's natural disasters, there's earthquakes, there's hurricanes, there's floods, there's mudslides, there's tornadoes, there's gang-related violence, there's corruption in government, there's sickness and disease. Scripture says in 2 Timothy, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. So where is God's church? It's certain. And I would say that you believe with me that we are in the last days. How many believe we're in the last days? I've been in this, around this. My dad was a pastor. My dad was a Roman Catholic boy. He married my mother, who had been raised by a Pentecostal mother. She wasn't really in the church when they married. When I was born, 2 weeks later, my dad was filled with the Holy Ghost in a ladies' prayer meeting in Odessa, Texas. I guess he saw me and he said, oh, God, I need you. I was the third child born, but I really got him going. So thank the Lord. He was filled with the Holy Ghost, was baptized in Jesus' name, and then he started into the ministry. So this is something I've been around. I've heard all my life that Jesus is coming soon. I heard it so much when I was young that when I would get home from school off the bus and no one was at home, I was scared to death. Some of you don't even relate to that now, but that's the way it was, friend. We heard it so much. When I got home and mom wasn't there, none of my brothers or sister, my brother or my sister wasn't there, I'd call somebody from the church. And if they didn't answer the phone, I was really getting worried. Finally, somebody would answer, and I think, oh, thank God, the church is still here. The Lord hasn't came. Not that I was a bad boy, but there was a few things, you know. So it was enough that I was concerned about it. Amen. So we're in the last days. But the door's still open right now to enter into the kingdom of God. The door's still open to us. Today is still the day of salvation. You can give your life to the Lord and be changed. The Holy Ghost is still present. It's still being poured out. You can receive the Holy Ghost just like those in the beginning on the day of Pentecost. Many of you here have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but God is calling his church to be the tip of the spear. We haven't seen even a fraction of what God is wanting to do in this hour. And he needs each and every one of us to be actively engaged and being in the front of the line and not at the back of the line. We go forward and we challenge the devil. We don't allow him to come and take things that doesn't belong to him. It's up to us to be in the front, at the beginning, waging war against the enemy. It's easier to believe that God is able to do something than that God can use you to accomplish something. Yeah, I believe God can do that, but for you and you and you, well, what about you? Well, I don't know if God could use me. Well, why not? I said, why not? I believe he can use anybody. I believe he can take anyone and he can put in them what they need and change them the way they need to be changed so that he can use them for his glory. We are the church of the living God. How many believe that? We're not just any church. We are the church of the living God. It's time that the church of the Lord wakes up and gets up and becomes a church that God wants us to be in this hour. Now, maybe you're saying, well, Brother Schwartz, you're not here. You don't know what all we got going on. I sure don't, but I do know God spoke to me, so he must be trying to touch somebody. Amen. We can do a lot more than what we're doing. We can see a whole lot more than what we're seeing because our God is an active God that is here, present at this moment. Acts 1 and 8. How many remembers what that says? But you shall what? Receive power when, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you what? Shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and Racine. Right? The outlying communities, Milwaukee, this area, Wisconsin. That's what he's talking about, the uttermost part of the earth. It's just those that were way out there from that time. John 14 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. The church of the name cannot be in the last row of the seats. It must be in the first. It must be in the front. If we really believe in the power that's in the name of Jesus, then we need to be out front, the tip of the spear. We've got to be in the forefront of everything. The enemy is coming in like a flood, trying to wage war. He's stealing your kids and your families and everything else. And if we're not careful, we're just sitting back scared to death. I read to you in the book of Chronicles, the reason why that they were able to see victory is because they trusted in the Lord. They trusted in their God. They believed that he could do and would do anything, that they would stand up, and he was with them.
If we are really the church of the living God tonight, then we need to realize I'm not second or third or fourth place in this. I'm right out front. I've got God that's with me. He is the one that's with me, leading me and helping me to be what I need to be. I have to do a lot of things that I don't like to do in my job, and I'm not going to go into details. I wouldn't want to burst your bubble as to what you might think about certain things, but it's not always fun. Sometimes it's pretty difficult. But I had someone tell me, he said, "Man, David, you're not afraid of anything." Well, I don't know about that. I don't like snakes. But when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to His church, why should we be afraid to face the enemy? Amen. It's not my church. It's His church. That group of people is not my group of people. They belong to Him. And so if we can wage war, face the enemy, let's do it, because it's Him. And you know what? Because it's His, He's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of us. I had a situation last week, a very difficult situation. And my boss, Brother Howell, he said, "Man, what are you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to go right ahead, and I'm going to face this situation that I'm facing, and I'm going to do what I got to do." "Well, what if? I said, "I'm not worried about that. I have a God that has never let me down. He's never failed me, not one time. I failed Him many times, but He's never failed me, not one time. And so this God that helped me get through last week and all that difficulty gave me a phone call on Thursday, and 38 years later, my friends filled with the Holy Ghost. And I said, "Oh, yeah, God." I said, "How you like that, devil?" Boom. He said, "Well, you better not be boasting too much." I don't boast in myself. Paul said, "I can do all things." But how? "Through Christ who strengtheneth me." Do we really believe that tonight? Do we really believe that our God is there with us, that we can do all things? We've got to be the tip of the spear. We've got to be right out in the front. You need to tell the devil, "You're not taking my kids. I'm not going to let you take them." And they may not be where they need to be right now with God, but you need to rise up and say, "That's it, no more. I'm not giving Him another inch. I'm going to fight you, devil, with everything I've got with me. You're not taking my kids. You're not taking my husband. You're not taking my wife. You're not destroying my marriage. You're not going to do that." Amen. Yeah, you're talking pretty big there. So what's going to happen tomorrow if something comes up? Won't be no worse than last week, I can promise you. And He was there. He was there. I was in the country of Paraguay. I don't even remember when. But anyway, we had a situation down there. It was difficult. But when I got through, when I walked out of there, when I left that country, I'm thinking, "Wow, God, You showed up." Those weren't my words. How many believe that He can put the words in your mouth when He needs to put them in your mouth? You say what needs to be said. That's exactly what He did. So don't give up. I said, don't give up. You got to stay strong. You can't quit. Get established in the things of God. Be faithful to the house of God. Church can't be just a Sunday morning, Sunday night, maybe midweek thing. It needs to be more than that. You need to give your life to God in such a way that every day there's something that you're gaining in the Lord, that you're learning from His Word every day. We've got to have the Holy Ghost working in us. So if you're sick, you can be healed. If you don't know which way to turn, He'll give you direction.
Don't be afraid to become an instrument in the hands of the Lord, because we're not just any group of people. We're the people that are called by His name. We're the people that have been selected as a part of His church. And the church is a whole lot bigger than what we see here tonight around this world. It's amazing what God is doing. I mean, I just read a report. Some of you may have seen it too, that in Madagascar they had over 1,000 people get the Holy Ghost in the last couple of days. Amen. God is still moving. God is still pouring out His Spirit. God is still healing people. Amen. God's still being God. I don't know what you face, Pastor Shoemaker, but I do know you don't have a thing to worry about. God's on your side. He's going to see you through whatever comes your way. I'm going to ask you to stand. We've sang. The worship's been great. Pastor exhorted us. Now, we've praised Him. Ask Him. Are you going to receive what He has for you? Amen. There's still some that haven't received what you really need here tonight, but that God that has been here from the beginning of the service is still here right now, and He's wanting you to not leave here without receiving what you need. As a missionary on the mission field, we've been missionaries 31 years. As a missionary on the field, we were in Costa Rica. And there were many times, very difficult situations. There was many times there was, should have been a wreck and it didn't happen. And God provided all kinds of things, did all kinds of things. It just come to me after Thursday that, well, Lord, You loved Howard Frazier so much. You kept me alive so that I could see this promise come to pass. Oh, sure, there's been thousands of people and preaching and all that kind of stuff, but I believe He loves a soul that much, one soul that much, that He's willing to do things that we can't even fathom or comprehend just so that that one soul can be reached with this message. You're here tonight. God brought you here. It's not by chance or accident that you're in this place. It's a divine thing that has brought you here. God is on your side. He is the one that is doing a work in you, and He will continue to do that work in you. Amen. I believe the Lord is coming soon. I believe that He's a God of miracles. I believe He can heal. I believe He can fill people with His Spirit. I've seen it over and over and over again. I saw in El Salvador, in a crusade that was held there, 35,000 people. It was in a soccer stadium. And when they gave the altar call, the platform area was down and the actual field set up pretty high. So the people would come out of the seats and down onto the grass to get up front and close to the platform area. I saw a man being wheeled in a wheelchair, and they rooted their way until they got to the front. I watched as the Holy Ghost began to fall. People were receiving the Holy Ghost all around. I saw them praying with that man. And I'd look off and more people were receiving the Holy Ghost. I'd look back. After a little bit, they took him and they lifted him up. As we've seen this happen over and over, they took him and they lifted him up and was giving him the strength to be able to stand. But he was still crippled. Look off and people were still receiving the Holy Ghost. Look back, and he's starting to move a little bit on his own.
look off, look back. He's starting to kind of bounce a little bit. And then it happened. God healed him. He began to dance and worship and praise the Lord. Over, 3,846 received the Holy Ghost. But the thing that really got me was when the guy that had pushed him in the wheelchair down to the front took that wheelchair, folded it up, and he shoved it into the sky and walked out, and that man right there with him healed completely. Well, that's El Salvador, you know, and it's different down there, and people, what? Same God? Oh, yeah, well, they don't have this building to worship in. We were out in a soccer stadium, out under the hot sun. That didn't matter. It doesn't matter. God is here. He's there. He's the healer there. He's the healer here. He feels people there. He feels them here. It's when the church wakes up and realizes we got to be in the forefront of this. We got to be right out there on the end, the tip of the spear. No more, devil. I'm not giving you one more inch. If you have a need tonight, if you want to believe the Lord, I'm going to invite you to come. But I want you to come making up your mind. I'm not going to just sit back on the third row, the tenth row. And I know that you can't all sit on the front row, but I'm talking in the spirit realm. I'm going to be out front. I'm going to wage the war. There's some people that you can leave here tonight, and when you get to your home, things are going to be different. When you get up and go to your job tomorrow, things are going to be different, because you're going to be different, because there's something that is taking place in you right now. Right now, God is doing something in you. Make that decision to let Him do what He wants to do in you. If you've not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight, what a wonderful night to receive the Holy Ghost. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost. You can speak in tongues for the first time. If you've never been baptized in the lovely name of Jesus, I don't know if that's a baptistry back there. Is that a baptistry? They have a baptistry right back there. You can be baptized in Jesus' name. Start the journey. Start the journey tonight. Become the tip of the spear. There's people that have addictions. There's people that have situations in their life, tragedies that's going on in your life. You need to step forward and let God take control. Become the tip of the spear and say, "No more, devil. I'm not going to let you do this anymore." Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's it. That's it. Reach out to Him. Let the Lord do the work right now. Reach out to Him. Start lifting Him up. Start talking to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God.